Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Black Pearl Asian Bistro and Sushi in North Logan, serving traditional Chinese dishes, a taste of Thai, nigiri, sushi, and sashimi. Open 7 days a week. Information at 435-750-0888.
Welcome to our second edition of Take a Hike. I have with me in studio today David Wallace. He's a hobbyist in botany and has his degree in biology.
In public health and biology.
And is an officer in the Utah Native Plant Society and a leader in the Cache Hikers. And so our next hike is actually on the foothills region. And what are we going to look at this time?
Well, this gives us a great opportunity to look at one of my favorite flowers. This is the Sega Lily. Many people in Utah, well, I hope most people in Utah know about the Sega Lily because it's our state flower, but it is not often seen. It has a fairly short blooming period in mid-June to late June around our foothills. And part of the problem with the Sega Lily is its habitat has been encroached by development, and we're seeing fewer areas where they grow. Fortunately, here in Cache Valley, we have a great place. It's the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. It's right at the elevation where the Sega Lilies grow, and it's a nice hiking trail if you want to go there as well.
Now, I've seen Sega Lilies on, it seems like, south-facing slopes, more gravelly-type slopes. So I'm assuming they like really good drainage.
Yes, they like dry, well-drained soil. They're usually found in association with sagebrush and similar plants, the forbs and grasses of the foothills. I know people have tried to collect the bulbs and grow them, but I think they're absolutely unsuccessful. My understanding is if you even water them once, they die.
Wow. So they really don't like to have any care at all. And with, I'm assuming, our soils down here being more clay and probably, I don't know, more alkaline, maybe, I don't know how much that plays into it.
I can't say so much about the alkalinity, but it's probably a factor. Certainly the drainage is. For years, there's somebody in Salt Lake City who's been salvaging Sega Lily bulbs from areas that are scheduled for development and selling them at the gardeners at the farmer's market there.
So it's not a protected species.
It's not protected, but it's something we certainly should respect. And I would say you should never pick one of these because you can kill the plant by picking the bloom of the lily, these lily family flowers.
So can you tell me the story behind the lily? Why is it the Utah state flower?
The Sega Lily has a bulb, and the Indians have been eating it as a food source for obviously decades, centuries. The story is that when the pioneers came here, that was one of the native plants that they relied on to help them survive. To commemorate that, it was named as the Utah state flower.
So what does it look like?
It's one of our most attractive flowers. It has a pearly or almost a satiny white bloom about 2 to 3 inches across in a kind of a wine glass shaped cup. It tends to open up a little bit as it gets more mature, but that's the general shape. Inside the throat, there'll be deep maroon and yellow markings. It's quite a striking plant, especially because the leaves are and the stem is almost impossible to see. It looks just like grass. In fact, it's interesting. I haven't talked about scientific names here yet, but the scientific name for the Sega Lily is Calochortus natalii. Now, nuttall is the botanist it's named for. That's where the natalii comes from. But Calochortus means in Latin beautiful grass. And so I think that's a great name. Another interesting thing about the Sega Lily, only in Utah is it called Sego because that was the native name for the plant. Elsewhere, it's known as a Mariposa Lily, which is Spanish for butterfly.
So where is its growing range?
Well, it grows, this particular species, Natalia, grows all over the state. We have some other more restricted species that grow in the south and the east, some of those are colored pink and yellow, for example.
So is this particular species, can it be seen throughout the Intermountain West?
It's through much of the Intermountain West.
Okay.
It is all throughout Utah, and I believe it's throughout most of the Intermountain West.
So it's white, and about how tall is it?
It grows about a foot tall, and like I say, it's in the dry sagebrush areas, and it's quite, when you notice it, you'll see these little light bulbs of white scattered around. Go up closer to them, and you'll get a a pleasant surprise.
And will you see it by itself, or will it be growing next to something else?
It just generally grows scattered around with the other plants. I've seen it. I don't think it really has a plant that associates with.
Okay. So tell us about the trail. Where do you recommend someone to start and then end?
Okay. The trail that I'm talking about is the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. This is a popular trail. It's right close to Logan. Hikers, walkers, bicyclists, runners, joggers, everybody uses it. And it's a fairly new trail. It's just built within the last 10 years or so. The person that is built here is from Green Canyon to Highway 89 near First Dam. There's an effort to build the Bonneville Shoreline Trail over much of northern Utah, and then I know it's going down on in the Salt Lake area as well. But here we have this section completed. In order to hike it, you could go either direction. You could start at the First Dam, which is the mouth of Logan Canyon, or you could start at the mouth of Green Canyon.
And there's a parking lot at either end.
There's a place to park at either end. At the Green Canyon site, there's a widened area that's cleared. You'll see the obvious trail signs right at the end of the canyon. There's some informative signs. There's even a place where you can grab a bag if you're accompanied by a dog. At the other end, if you choose to go that direction, you could park at the parking area near the First Dam. The park at First Dam.
Okay.
Now the interesting thing about the First Dam parking is you can park right there next to the green area where the park is, and there's an underpass that's been built so you can actually walk underneath Highway 89 without exposing yourself to traffic.
And I'm imagining in my mind the trail that's probably going to be the largest elevation gain is from the Logan end, because it just kind of switchbacks up the alluvial fan of Old Lake Bonneville, and then you get to the top, and then is it fairly, not too much elevation gain the rest of the way?
Well, the trail undulates as it goes across the drainages, so you go up and down a little bit. It kind of also has to make accommodations for the power lines, which are also in that vicinity. But you're right, the steepest climb is from Highway 89 up to the Bonneville level.
So if someone didn't even want to climb very much, they could just go in from the Green Canyon end and just hike a ways in and then come back out. Otherwise, you'll have to have a shuttle, so once you get off on one end, you can come all the way back to the other end.
You can do a shuttle from one end to the other, or you can go part way and go back, or go the full way and go back. It's about 2 miles from Green Canyon to Highway 89. So a round trip would be 4 miles, or you could go part way.
And about how long will this take?
Well, it depends on how
long often you stop and look.
Yeah. If you want to make it really short, start at Green Canyon, and within a quarter mile, you'll encounter, if you have your eyes open, you'll see some of the seagull lilies along the side. They tend to be more after about a half a mile to about a mile, about 1.4, 1.3 miles down from Green Canyon. So you could only walk a half a mile or a mile and a half and turn around and go back, or extend your hike as well. It's up to you.
And what else will be seen along the hike besides views of Cache Valley?
Sure, we're talking about flowers. I noticed that I was just up there the other day, and the northern sweet vetch is out. The little sunflower, the Helianthella uniflora, is out. The mule's ear is past its peak, and but you'll still see some of the mule's ear flowers and big yellow flowers. The South Little Yarrow. Many of the other flowers are beyond their peak or gone to seed, like the foothill death camas. The balsam root.
Okay. Sounds like a great, easy hike to do, something to take the family on and maybe the dog.
It would be a great hike for that.
All right, David, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And to get information about this hike, this information is posted to our website at upr.org. Just click on Programs and then go to Zesty Garden, and you'll find maps and information about this hike. David Wallace is an officer in the Utah Native Plant Society and a leader in with Cache Hikers. And he did want me to mention that when you go on this hike, you're going to see construction signs that say the trail is closed. The trail is not closed. Everybody ignores these signs, he says, because they were there for the canal reconstruction. The canal reconstruction is done. The signs just haven't been taken down. So ignore the signs.